Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narcisses podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Enemy Within. How a Totalitarian Movement is Destroying America is a conservative political polemic by David Horowitz, a longtime critic of the American left and founder of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Published by Regnery, the book argues that the United States faces an internal threat from progressive movements that Horowitz characterizes as totalitarian in method and ambition. Its subject is not electoral politics alone, but the broader cultural and institutional struggle over speech, national identity, education, law enforcement, and constitutional norms. Horowitz links contemporary conflicts over critical race theory, identity politics, protests, impeachment, and pandemic governance to what he sees as a coordinated effort to delegitimize traditional American principles. The book is written for readers already concerned about left-wing influence in public institutions, but it also functions as a revealing example of contemporary conservative crisis literature. Its purpose is diagnostic and adversarial to name the perceived threat, trace its institutional roots, and urge civic resistance. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, progressivism framed as a totalitarian political movement. The central claim of The Enemy Within is that the modern American left is not merely a competing political faction, but a movement with totalitarian tendencies. Horowitz argues that its defining feature is the attempt to replace constitutional pluralism with ideological conformity. This framing is important because it changes the stakes of ordinary partisan conflict. Disputes over schools, speech codes, policing, race, and historical memory are presented not as isolated policy disagreements, but as parts of a larger struggle over whether dissenting citizens will retain equal standing in public life. Horowitz uses the language of totalitarianism to emphasize tactics rather than only ideas: social punishment, institutional pressure, moral labeling, and the effort to make certain viewpoints unspeakable. The book, therefore, belongs to a tradition of anti-left political writing that sees culture as the main battlefield of power. Its strength is that it offers a coherent explanation for why many controversies appear connected to conservative readers. Its limitation is that the broad totalitarian label can compress diverse progressive groups, motives, and disagreements into a single adversarial category. Secondly, critical race theory and cultural Marxism as ideological foundations. Horowitz identifies critical race theory and cultural Marxism as key intellectual sources behind the movement he criticizes. In his account, these frameworks reinterpret American society as a system structured by group oppression, especially along racial, cultural, and identity-based lines. The book argues that this way of thinking weakens the civic idea of equal citizenship by replacing individual rights with collective guilt and group grievance. Horowitz is especially concerned with how these theories influence education, corporate training, public administration, and activist rhetoric. He presents them as doctrines that make reconciliation difficult because they define institutions as inherently corrupt and opponents as defenders of oppression. The reasoning is that if the American founding, law, policing, and speech norms are treated primarily as instruments of domination, then reform becomes secondary to delegitimization. This topic is central because it explains why Horowitz sees the conflict as existential rather than procedural. Readers should note, however, that scholars and activists use these terms in varied ways, while the book treats them mainly through a conservative critique of their political consequences. Thirdly, education and institutional capture as long-term mechanisms. A major mechanism in the book is the alleged long-term capture of institutions, especially education. Horowitz argues that hostile ideas did not suddenly appear in national politics, but developed over decades through universities, teacher training, administrative offices, media networks, activist nonprofits, and professional organizations. This institutional focus allows the book to explain why cultural battles seem to recur across unrelated settings. If schools, universities, and credentialing systems shape the assumptions of future journalists, lawyers, bureaucrats, and corporate managers, then ideology can spread without needing a centralized command structure. Horowitz treats this diffusion as more dangerous than ordinary party organization because it embeds political preferences into supposedly neutral institutions. The argument also highlights education as a battleground over national memory. Debates about the founding, slavery, civil rights, policing, and patriotism become disputes over whether students inherit a flawed but legitimate constitutional republic or a fundamentally oppressive order. The practical implication is that electoral victories alone cannot settle the conflict if institutions continue to reproduce the worldview Horowitz criticizes. This makes the book more cultural diagnosis than conventional policy program. Fourthly, recent political crises used as evidence of civic breakdown. The book grounds its thesis in recent events that Horowitz presents as symptoms of a weakening republic. These include the intense opposition to Donald Trump, impeachment battles, the confirmation fight over Brett Kavanaugh, conflicts around the coronavirus pandemic, the summer 2020 riots, and controversies involving activist groups and watchdog organizations. Horowitz uses such episodes to argue that political norms are being replaced by permanent delegitimization. In his interpretation, opponents of the conservative movement do not merely seek to win elections, but to brand their adversaries as morally illegitimate and remove them from acceptable public life. The Kavanaugh episode, for example, is used as a case study in reputational destruction under conditions of partisan mobilization. The 2020 riots are presented as evidence that elite tolerance for disorder can erode civic stability when violence is politically convenient. The pandemic is treated as another crisis in which emergency conditions were politicized. This topic gives the book its immediacy, but also its most partisan character. Because the selection and interpretation of events strongly reflect conservative assumptions about responsibility and motive. Lastly, free speech, national memory, and the fear of one-party rule, Horowitz repeatedly connects free speech and national memory to the survival of the Republic. The First Amendment is not treated only as a legal protection, but as the cultural condition that allows a divided country to remain politically open. If citizens fear social or professional punishment for dissent, formal rights may exist, while practical freedom narrows. The book links this concern to debates over censorship, deplatforming, blacklists, hate labels, and the stigmatization of conservative views in influential institutions. National memory plays a similar role. Horowitz argues that attacks on monuments, founding principles, and patriotic narratives weaken the shared story that makes constitutional self-government possible. From this perspective, a one-party order does not require the immediate abolition of elections. It can emerge when one ideological bloc dominates schools, media, corporations, bureaucracies, and technology platforms strongly enough to define opposition as extremism. This is one of the book's more distinctive claims: political freedom depends on cultural pluralism as much as formal procedure. Critics may find the warning overstated, but the concern reflects a real debate over speech, institutional power, and democratic legitimacy. In conclusion, The Enemy Within is best suited for readers who want to understand a forceful conservative interpretation of recent American polarization. It will appeal most to conservatives, constitutionalists, and politically engaged readers who believe cultural institutions have moved sharply left and want a framework that links education, speech regulation, identity politics, protests, and national memory. Its practical benefit is not a detailed policy agenda, but a diagnostic map of how Horowitz believes ideological power moves through institutions and public crises. Intellectually, the book is useful as an example of contemporary right-of-center alarm about cultural authority, not simply electoral competition. Readers outside its political perspective may still benefit from examining how conservative critics understand concepts such as critical race theory, institutional capture, cancel culture, and civic fragmentation. What differentiates the book from many similar political titles is its combination of ideological history, recent case studies, and explicit use of totalitarianism as the organizing category, rather than focusing only on one administration, one protest movement, or one campus controversy. Horowitz presents these conflicts as connected signs of a deeper struggle over the meaning of America. Its polemical style limits its neutrality, but that same intensity makes it a clear statement of a major conservative argument in the current culture war. If you would like to support David Horowitz, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.